Blog Talk Radio.
True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yakwa's Radio. Special edition called Thursday Evening. I'll be your host by name. Your seer, Israel, of Seraya. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mystery Tribe, Yada, part number 133. We're going to bring our elder and tell y'all about the broadcast. And we see memos coming in as we speak. And we'll take a little glance at a few things that we're looking at. So we'll bring our elders in and pretty good memo. Seer, we want some clarity about Nigeria. We is definitely on the line, and it's 12 o'clock a.m. in our Nigeria, and we all ears for tonight's broadcast. Uh-huh. What did we say? We don't forgot what we were saying. Okay, we'll read a couple of these memos and see what they're talking about out in Nigeria. And one thing about it, see, Ray Fox said, how they let the curtain hair went up. And one thing about it, one thing we got to know, it's written that it will be a ministry that unlocks the biblical mysteries of the Bible, even out there in Nigeria. It's things that they need to know, and we might cover it in this lesson now. I don't know. But we'll bring our elder in and tell y'all about the broadcast. And then one thing, Fox said, how they let the curtain hair went up. The world is listening to the Six Anointed Camps called Voices of the True Israelites. Bring our elder in your table now. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs, Yahweh be there, see right.
And Yahweh bless you, see as well, to see, bro. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Yahweh,
elder. Well, one thing we do know, one thing that a wise elder told me a little while ago, you got to make sure all your T's is crossed and I's is dotted, because somebody might peep at something you got and might be a little error, and that's all they're going to hearken on what's the error part about it, not but try to bring out the message. So we got to take our time and do this thing right. The world is listening. Elder, you on the clock. Take your time. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, see Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the words of Yahweh. And if I'm not mistaken, it looks like you said Nigeria wants to hear those words also. And you know what? That's a good thing. But you have to remember, we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching, confusion, and Christianity. We welcome and thank you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry that comes to you live and open to you all's ways with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahweh's word, connecting the books, your health, and foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. We do all this because you have not. This is information that you came to seek. You have to look no further now. You have found it in the voices of the true Israelites. Tribe of Yada will open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. However, we do have a Sabbath class. And the top part of Sabbath is Friday. The current time of that class starts at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. And the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this on any search line, you want to enter tribeyada.com. And after you click on it, just under a big line, you'll see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. click Pay Bell and follow the instructions. Any other device, you might see menu, but after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the Book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, your kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I remember someone has always got a word of wisdom. And once there was a man of wisdom that asked me, Elder Tibbs, do you know what tithes and offerings and alms means? I said, sure. I answered that. And he says, let me give you a verse to go along with that, what you have learned. So he gave me the book of Sirach, chapter 12, verse number 3. 3 said, there can be no good of him that is always occupied in evil, nor to him that giveth no alms. Well, that's a straightforward explanation. And I thought that made quite a bit of sense. But when you ask yourself what it says in 2 Corinthians verse 9, verse number 15, it says, thanks be unto Yahuwah for his unspeakable gift. And we can definitely say that most of us that have things going right have gifts that has been given us by Yahuwah that we appreciate. And we try to share those gifts with others, which we have received. Because you have to remember, does Malachi give us the correct definition? In chapter 3, verses 8-9, 8 says, will a man rob Yahuwah? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, where have we robbed thee? And tithes and offerings. 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. While we try to keep things in order, we have noticed that some, when they make their tithes and offerings, we never hear it when it drops in the box. Then we have some that drop tithes and offerings in the box, and we can hear the coins drop. Toodum, toodum. So we know they have not stepped up to the plate. Doing that, you have to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And donations to this ministry also is greatly appreciated, that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30. 30 says, and all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is Yahuwah's. It is righteous unto the Yahuwah. And also in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8 and verse number 9. 8 says, and here men that die receive tithes, but he that receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. 9, and as I may so say, Levi also received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. We do this to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, live, and also for building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of, Yahuwah. Also, while there, we have a calendar. Don't forget to check that calendar. It will help keep you, your family, and friends, which includes myself, in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. To get there, in the three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after clicking on it, look for Voices of the Trizalites, Tribe of Yahuwah, and click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We even have 2 email addresses the listening members can use. The first is tribe, that's TRIVEYHDH at gmail.com. Tribe Yahuwah. This is for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. The other one is Yahuwah Israel, YHDHYSRAEL at gmail.com. Also for biblical subjects or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number, where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by anyone of the 69 camps of Dark Wars Ministry. So in saying that, please don't call this number trying to teach. You will absolutely not receive a response. You have to remember, in the book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse 6, 6 tells us, be at peace with many, nevertheless, but have one counselor over 1,000. Could you imagine, as I said previously before, 6 cooks making 1 cake? We don't know what the outcome would be. Also, by inquiring on the same phone number of 224-600-5579, you can inquire about our 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure you give us the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive them promptly. On another note, we'd like to add, please do not contact the seer by email, phone, or text. We say this because it slows him down quite a bit before our program starts. He's even interfered by the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos that most of us have seen in the past. Even now, the Latter-day Saints. So please use our international line, 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Unless you're trying to teach, you will not receive a response. Also, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, remember, you can always listen to the entire show today at 9:15, except Fridays. The program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter 3 words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites. At that point, choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Also, we are now doing a normal broadcast, and afterwards, we are simultaneously transmitting our information on Pal Talk. On Pal Talk, we have been listed under ethnic group, African American. Once again, just look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. You'll find this is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any of the on-the-table topics we discuss during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with the Seer Israel, writing a shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off-topic or any more than 2 text questions answered at a time. And you'll find if Bar Talk ends before teaching time, our teaching for your convenience will continue on Pal Talk. But remember, when we're giving scriptures to speak by the seer, be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah flow smoothly, remembering, as I said before, we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that want to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah, not that of confusion, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. And 33 says, for Yahuwah is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches or covenants of the saints. Because when we do this, we keep the scriptures in mind. But you find some trying to win at bump the gums contests. And what happens to them? They miss all of Yahuwah's word, which is said unto them. You have to remember, we are rehearsing the righteous act to learn the words of Yahuwah, as it reminds us in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 26. 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the righteous Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things back into your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So when we do this, interference plays a big part in your learning. And the book of Sirach reminds you of that in Sirach chapter 11, verse number 8. 8 says, answer not before thou heard the calls, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk. But you can also find a backup verse in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 13. 13 says, he or she that answers a matter before he or she hears it is folly. Shame unto him or her. So today is another day for the Word of Yahuwah, and I hope most of us will enjoy it. I know I will. There's a number of people that came to hear the words of Yahuwah, and we're pretty sure that many came to commend it, and only following by some that want to add unto it, even those that want to cast the same word we listen to behind their back. This is called the deceptive listeners. They want to take the Bible meaning another way, along with the noisemakers, complainers, wanting, as I said before, to be a deceptive listener. You'll see them flipping the pages in the Bible. Look like they are paying attention, but when they're called to speak, they're completely lost. They have clearly forget that time is not in our favor, and that's one thing you have to consider. But the best is yet to come. We can only do 100% of what one man or one woman that was Jacques Wally created to do in this life. And remember, that's in fact all possible. Because if anyone ever says they've even done more, they just lie. Now they do in the work of another, past the creation of Yahuwah. Now that's impossible. Remember what Yahuwah the Son told us about the impossible in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26? 26 says, "But Yahuwah the Son beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Yahuwah all things are possible." So at this time, so we can find out what our continued possibilities would be in the word of Yahuwah, we will pass our program back over to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. That's excellent on your part there, which you just brought out. That's great. Now we gotta answer a couple of these memos, and then we're gonna get to the nice broadcast special edition call first evening. Let's see, what should we start at? We got a memo from the ministry of Sharon Evans. She's a prophetess and a seer, tribe of Issachar, and a woman. Okay, her name is Shannonevette. I'm a prophetess and a seer. We got the rebroadcast of your tape that he says women do not supposed to lead. Well, the men's would not step up, so what are we supposed to do? Okay. Dr. Anita, I'm a spell name now. Anita Phillips. She's a graduate from the University of Maryland and at Johns Hopkins. Now she's in Dallas. She says she are a healer and a leader. Seer, I am a healer and a leader. I treat men as men supposed to be treated in my ministry. Okay. All right, now who is this? Okay, let's see who this is. The Christian Association of Nigeria Can. Sir, you said you do not supposed to appoint women to be leaders, and the place was at a chaos, and we had no choice. Okay. So we are all ears and want you to retract last night's tape or give us a better explanation. It is 12 o'clock here, and you coming out of the United States around 6 o'clock, right? Right. All right. Well, Christians, and Muslims. Our president is a Muslim. And we, the Christians and the Muslims, we have our ups and downs, but we are coming together. President Buhari, B-U-H-A-R-I. And our administration will be listening to a nice broadcast. Okay? All right, let's see. Well, what we're going to do is go on to the network and see what we can get going on, and we want to get back on prophecy, but we did say if you call the 224 number and leave a message, you don't have to bow God at the last minute, because we have responsible that can get back with you if you leave your message on 224-600-5579, and we will have somebody responsible that can call you back out of the Six Anointed Camp and get with you. Got it? Correct. All right. Remember the special edition call Thursday evening? We'll address a little bit of that. And the Christians and the Muslims is coming together, because in our administration, we have Christian and Muslims, and we are coming together in Nigeria. Okay. Although we had a tragedy, and we're getting down to the bottom of that. And you spoke on it last night, but here's some more details on the tragedy. Okay. All right. I tell you what we do, we get the broadcast going, and we'll take it from there, and we see we'll be on stage for the ninth episode, part number 133. Let's see who all will be on stage for the ninth episode. All right. The young lion, I see he's ready to go. The young lion, tribe of Yah-God Judah, up and coming teacher out of camp number one. Brother Micaiah Israel. Yahweh bless you, Israel.
Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel. Oh, see, Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there. Brother Micaiah. Mother E, one of the mothers out of camp one, tribe Yahweh Judah.
Yahweh
bless
you, dear Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, then, mother. All right. And the mother that can address this national audience over 500,000 plus will be Mother Z. And maybe she might comment on those around Nigeria, the Christians and the Muslims, how they... they got the ups and downs, but they're coming together. Maybe Mother might address them. I don't know. We'll find out a little bit later in the ball, okay, boy. Now we can signify Mother Z and bring her in and see if she has anything to say right now, or just want to wait later and address this national audience, because they say it's 12 o'clock there. We come on airway at 6 o'clock. They say it's midnight. But we up to hear you in the United States. Mozik, tribe of Yahweh Judah. Yahweh bless you, let's say it right.
Yahweh bless and keep you, seer Israel, a royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Do you want to address those around Nigeria now? You want to wait for a bit later? You want to say back to those around Nigeria, especially the big organizations that put things together? Oh, we can wait a little bit later. We give you a chance to get back. Ma'am?
I can do it now.
You want to talk now? Okay, good. All right, what do you want to say right now? Hold on, let me get the mother in. Get the other mother in. If you want to address them now, that'd be fine.
Oh, okay.
You can find Mother C of Israel. That'd be fine. Like I said, it's a long broadcast. And you got their attention, no doubt about it. Mother D of Israel, tribe of Yahweh Judah. Yahweh be there, see right.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, that Mother D of Israel. I see you ready to go. I'm ready to go. And Mother, get ready to address this national audience in a minute, so let's see.
Crossbreeding a horse means taking a horse and breeding it with an ass, and you get a dumb, backward-ass, long-headed mule that is neither reproductive nor productive by itself. breeding niggers means taking so many drops of good white blood and putting them into as many nigger women as possible, varying the drops by the various tones that you want, and then letting them breed with each other until another circle of color appears as you desire. What this means is this. Put the niggers and the horse in a breeding pot. Mix some asses and some good white blood. And what do you get? You get a multiplicity of colors of ass-backward, unusual niggers running, tied to a backward-ass, long-headed mule, the one productive of itself, the other sterile. The one constant, the other dying. We keep the nigger constant, for we may replace the mules for another tool. Both mule and nigger tied to each other, neither knowing where the other came from, and neither productive for itself, nor without each other. Controlled language. Crossbreeding completed, for further severance from their original beginning, we must completely annihilate the mother tongue of both the new nigger and the new mule, and institute a new language that evolves the new life's work of both. You know, language is a peculiar institution. It leads to the heart of a people. The more a foreigner knows about the language of another country, the more he is able to move through all levels of that society. Therefore, if the foreigner is an enemy of the country, to the extent that he knows the body of the language, to that extent is the country vulnerable to attack or invasion of a foreign culture. For example, if you take a slave, if you teach him all about your language, he will know all your secrets, and he is then no more a slave, for you can't fool him any longer. And being a fool is one of the basic ingredients of an incident to the maintenance of the slavery system. For example, if you told a slave that he must perform in getting out our crops, and he knows the language well, he would know that our crops didn't mean our crops, and the slavery system would break down, for he would relate on the basis of what our crops really meant. So you have to be careful in setting up the new language for the slaves would soon be in your house, talking to you man to man. That is death to our economic system. In addition, the definitions of words or terms are only a minute part of the process. Values are created and transported by communication through the body of the language. A total society has many interconnected value systems. All the values in the society have bridges of language to connect them for orderly working in the society. But for those language bridges, these many value systems would sharply clash and cause internal strife or civil war. The degree of the conflict being determined by the magnitude of the issues or relative opposing strength in whatever form. For example, if you put a slave in a hog pen and train him to live there and incorporate in him to value it as a way of life completely, the biggest problem you would have out of him is that he would worry you about provisions to keep the hog pen clean, or take the same hog pen and make a slip and incorporate something into his language where he comes to value a house more than he does his hog pen. Now you've got a problem. He will soon be in your house.
All right, I guess it's clear for you to address this national audience right off the bat, and we'll bring you back in and address it again. We got a lot on the table now behind. We just got through here, so Mother Z, what you want to address to this national audience? You on the clock? Come on.
Mother Z is not here right now.
Oh, okay. All right. She adjusted a little bit later. So, got a lot on the table, all I can tell you. So, Brother Mackay, let's see what we can get going on and get a couple of these memos on the table. Some good white blood, huh? Brother Mackay, Yakwa BJC, Roy, one more time.
Yahweh bless you, sir. It's real. Oh, see, Lord. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's get something going on because the world is listening, so we might as well put some on the table there. You on the clock, come on.
Book of Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
And at the very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. But what do Psalms 127, verse 1 say there, Brother Kaya? Let's see if we get warmed up on take number 133, and we want to adjust some of these memos, and then if we get an opportunity, get back on a little prophecy. But I got a couple of female pastors said that they can lead men with no problem. You might can, but let me pull a rabbit out of that. You might can, hold that point. Hey, mother of Bethlehem, in Acts chapter 16, you tell me what you, verse number 16 and 18 say. What can we read out of Acts chapter 16, verse 16 and 18? Mother D.F. Israel, come on.
Acts chapter 16, verse 16 and 18. Is that what you say?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I can't hardly hear you. I can't hardly hear you. Okay.
Chapter 16. What about now? Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good.
Acts 16 through 18.
And 18. Yeah, 16 and 18. Verse 16 and 18. I wanna address Dr. Anita Phillips in Dallas and Sharon Evett from the tribe of Issachar, a prophetess and a seer. Just want to address them real quick. And then I'm going to get on down the road. So, you know, after I hear something, I've got to wait until I got something to say. I don't have nothing to say until I'm given something to say. What it says in Acts 16 and 18, come on.
Acts chapter 16, verse 16 and verse 18. Verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. Verse 18. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Yahweh the Son to come out of her." And he came out the same hour.
Why did Paul command the spirit to come up out of her after he went to the temple to get him a prayer on? Why did he tell her to come out of her? Maybe Numbers 27, 15 through 17 can help us out. Hey, Mother E, maybe Numbers chapter 15, Numbers 27, 15 through 17, backed up with Mother D of Israel, and 17 of Deuteronomy 14 and 15. Maybe we'll get the answer real quick. Then we'll go on down the road. Numbers chapter 27, 15 through 17, Mother E, backed up with Mother D of Israel, and the 17th chapter, verse 14, and 15 of Deuteronomy, then we can answer that question and get on down the road, because we only can answer the question as he give it to us as we trying to walk into the temple site. And what he ran into was a big black mouth woman with a mouth going. So he addressed him. Because, you know, if he got a mouth going and men's come in, they know that's the devil on him. So he addressed her. Now let's see what we can read in Numbers 27:15-17. Come on.
The book of Numbers, chapter 27:15-17. Verse 15. And Moses speaks unto the Yahuwah, saying, verse 16, let the Yahuwah, of Israel, of all flesh, let a man over the congregation. Verse 17, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Yahuwah be not so deep, which have no shepherd.
So, according to regardless how I look into Christianity and Islam, if a woman leading a man according to the heavenly tablets is like a shepherd, it's like sheep having no shepherd. So that's the reason why we were saying earlier that's supposed to happen. Now, emotion can have you doing some things, but it's not biblically the same thing about over here in South Africa when the big dignitaries got together and put and made the prophetess, the wife of T.B. Joshua, the head pastor. That was an emotional plea, not a biblical plea. So that's just the way it is. So E-V-E-T-T-E, seer, and a prophetess tribe of Issachar, and Dr. Anita Phillips of Dallas. You can do what Christianity tell you to do, but it's not biblically. If you're supposed to do it biblically, that's the devil in you if you take that position, because you wasn't created to stand before men with your mouth going. Wasn't created to do that. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, Mother D.F. Israel, 17th chapter, verse 14-15, what does it say that we can read? Deuteronomy 17, verse 14-15 says what? Mother D.F. Israel, Deuteronomy chapter, let me see what I want. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse number 14 through 15. Deuteronomy 17, 14 through 15, Mother D.F. Israel. Then we'll get on back with the young line and get something going on. But we have to only address it when it's given to us, that you can do what you want to do in Christianity and Islam, but it's not biblically, not with the Bible in your hand. Deuteronomy 17, 14, 15 says what, Mother D.F. Israel? Come on.
Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 and 15. Verse 14, when thou art come unto the land which Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, give you, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Verse 15, thou shalt in any wise set him king over you, whom Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, shall choose. One from among your brethren shall thou set king over you. Thou mayest not set a stranger over you, which is not your brother.
So that's the answer to the fact that we were told earlier about the Christian and the Muslims, and Bakari, President Bakari, got administration of, he's a Muslim, and he got Christians in there, but in the same token, the children of the book, you're not supposed to have nobody that's not their brother. Although you are brothers, but you don't know your brothers, because being a Christian and a Muslim, that puts you out of the way of being what the Bible mm-hmm. telling you to be by being up under these labels called Christians and Muslims. Because the children of Israel is often to being Christians, Muslims, and everything that it is, but that is not biblically correct for the children of Israel. Now, we're going to get a case in point. So I hope I'll answer a few things out the way. Mother, give me one more verse pertaining to Dr. in Dallas. I'll back up to Ezekiel 34 and look at verse 31. Ezekiel 34, verse 31. Then we'll get back to way what we got to do. Ezekiel 34, verse 31.
Okay. Ezekiel 34.
Verse 31. Ezekiel 34, verse 31.
Okay. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 31. And you, my flock, oh, my pastor, are men. And I am your Yahweh, says Yahweh.
So, the flock of the Almighty is men. It's not woman. Woman was created to be a help meet. The man do not say, speak. You do not speak in a congregation unless you call on to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the way it is. So, you got it? Good. So now we know that but it's Bible. So I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. It's up to you to continue doing what you're doing, and we'll think they're supposed to stand in front of a man and run that big black mouth, then more power to you, but you're out of order up under Yahuwah. Now, back to Brother Micaiah. Now let's come back to Psalm 127, verse 1. Now, what did we read in 127, verse 1? Come on.
Brother Tom, 127, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, except Yahuwah build the house, they labor in vain that build. Except Yahuwah keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain.
So if Yahuwah do not build your temple, your worship place, that's why Paul came in to get him a prayer. Paul came in to get a prayer, and then what he run to was a big black mouth woman with her mouth gone. And Paul checked her immediately to let her know you out of order on what you're doing when men is present. So that was a double check right away through Paul, because Paul had Numbers 15 and Deuteronomy already to apply to the conversation. So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 20, Brother Micaiah. So one thing about it, we're going to have to do Yahuwah's business. Six anointing camps, we got to get our personal feeling out the way and make a Bible decision and make a Bible call, and Yahuwah going to intervene. Then you have Yahuwah intervening if what you make, when you make a calling, the Bible support what you're saying. Now, if the Bible support what you're saying, then you make the calling. Now, according to Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 3, 5, 35 through 37, and Ezekiel 20, verse 3, 5, 35 through 37, and 42. And then and once this is read, I want to know where they pull this from. See, I got to find out where they pull this verse from. You on the clock, come on.
So the Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 3, 5, 35 to down to 37, and verse 42. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 3, read. Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, thus says Yahuwah, are you come to inquire of me? As I live, says Yahuwah, I will not be acquired of by you. Verse 5, and say unto them, thus says Yahuwah, in the day when I chose Israel, and lift up my hand unto the seed of the nation of Israel, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lift up my hand unto them, saying, I am Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse 35, down to 37, 35 reads, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Verse 36, like as I plead with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, says Yahweh. Verse 37, I will cause you to pass under the rock, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Verse 42, and you shall know that I am Yahweh, when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lift up my hand to give it to your father.
Mm-hmm. So those around in any other country besides the land of your promised land, sooner or later he's going to bring you back out, but he's not bringing a Christian or a Muslim back unless they understand who's supposed to lead the way. So all this togetherness by being Christians and Muslims in Nigeria, that is not the will of Yahweh. Israel must understand who they are, and understanding, although you open to being a Christian and a Muslim, but both of these is something that we got to investigate and see can it stand up. So let's find out about this covenant. Brother Makai, let's go back to Exodus 34, verse 10, 27, 28. Let's see if we find a little bit more about this covenant that Ezekiel pulled us from Exodus 34, verse 10, 27, and 28. Let's see what we can read.
Okay, going to the book of Exodus 34, verse 10, 27, down to 28. The book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, and he said, behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvel, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which you are shall see the work of Yahweh, for it is a terrible thing as I will do with you. Verse 27. And Yahweh said unto Moses, write you these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Verse 28. And he was there with Yahweh 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the table the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments.
All right. And what did he say in Genesis 49, 28 to the children of Israel? What did he say to the children of Israel in 49, 28 of Genesis? What did he say?
Book of Genesis, 49, verse 28. Book of Genesis. Look at Genesis.
Genesis 49, verse 28. What do you say? We can read.
The book of Genesis, chapter 49, verse 28. 28 reads, and these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Every one according to his blessing, he blessed them.
Mm-hmm. So the whole 12 tribes was blessed. And that's why it's so important to understand on that chapter we is street teaching on now, is to let those on that 12th chapter to understand you must identify yourself with your biblical name. Matter of fact, just like this prophetess here, tribe of Issachar, says she's from the tribe of Issachar. Okay, good. That you got that part right. But everything else you got wrong. So you got to identify with your biblical now. So when that was told, that was reiterated back in Numbers 6:22-27. See, one thing about Yahweh, he'll come right back and have those of leadership to remind you of the 12 tribes of Israel is blessed. He haven't blessed no one in this Bible that is a Christian or not in biblically way, Christian or a Muslim, because Christian and Muslims is not the proper, and we'll bring it out a little bit later. A Christian and a Muslim, it's not biblically correct, which we'll take care of as the lesson unfolds. We'll take care of it as it unfolds. Because like I said again, the Christians and the Muslims that's in Nigeria, they are back and forth. But both groups are members of a Mother East. How many is the children of the book in 24 verse 60 of Genesis? Mother, how many is we working with? You know, we need an idea of what we're working with, because a lot of times you think because you over there, that make you the peoples over there. There's a little bit more to it that we got to bring out as the Spirit gives it to us. In the 24th chapter, verse 60, can you give me a count on the peoples of the book? And Mother Dear of Israel, meet me in Deuteronomy 1:1. All I need is a name, Deuteronomy 1:1. And I need a count about 500 years later from this prophecy, exactly how do they look according to what we can read. And 24:60, can you help me out there, Mother D of Israel, of Genesis, come on.
Mother E,
can you help me out, Mother E?
The book of Genesis, chapter 24, verse 60. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, she thou the mother of thousands of millions, and that thy seed possess faith of those which hate them.
Mm-hmm. And what do we say, Mother, that we can read in Deuteronomy 28:25 and 64 there, Mother E. What do we say the prophecy of these peoples in the book of Deuteronomy 28:25 and 64? Then swing on over to Luke 21:24 and tell me where that prophecy come be fulfilled. When did it come be fulfilled? We're going to see about all this right now after we read what was said to a people that Mother Dear of Israel will give you name on shortly. But go to Deuteronomy 28:25, Mother E, and 64. What did it say? Come on.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 25, and verse 64.
Yes, ma'am. What'd that say?
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 60, verse 25. Yahweh shall cause thee to be bidden before thine enemies, but shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. Verse 64. And the Yahweh shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other. and thereby shall serve other false Yahweh, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone.
And when did the final scattering happen, Mother, in 2164 Luke? Now, what can we read? The final scattering of the kingdom of the Most High no longer possessed the kingdom of the Most High. What can we read? The final scattering where it's no more temple and they were finally scattered that we can read in 2124 Luke.
The book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 24, read. And verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And God's beauty shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
And over there in Nigeria, I got the report. The young lady was a member of a Roman Catholic church, going to worship at a Roman Catholic church establishment, and so happened, escalated, and some things happened. See, the people of the book, if they had their proper information, in certain places that you do not present yourself as not having a history pertaining to the Roman Catholic Church, not having the history of the Christian or the Muslim. You got to have the history of all, because the Almighty saying, if the Almighty do not build your place of worship in your country, then you're doing it in vain. A lot of things you have to know, and we have to bring it out. So now, Mother D.F. Israel, that was excellent, that Mother E. But I want to come back to Deuteronomy, Mother D.F. Israel, in 28, verse 37, the reason why we call by so many names. Because it's prophesied in Deuteronomy 28, 37, Mother D.F. Israel. And what it said that we can read in Deuteronomy 28, 37, what was prophesied that was going to happen to the people we're going to read in Deuteronomy 1, 1. So, but what was the prophecy that we can read in 28, 37? You on the clock, Mother D.F. Israel, come up.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 37. You shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations, whether Yahweh shall lead you.
And 32, 26, and what's going to happen to you? Because you're going to be so proud on what you call yourself today, Nigerians, Christians, Nigerian Muslims, Nigerian Catholics. You're going to be proud of these titles that you have over you. You're going to be proud of it. But what it says in 32:26 of the book of Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 26. I said, I will scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men.
So you will not be using your Yahwali name that he given you, because another people will give you another name, although you are Hosea chapter 1. Although you are a Hosea chapter 1, my dear Israel. In Hosea chapter 1, although you are a Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. He said, although you, the children of Israel, although you are Hosea 1, verse 10.
Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. And how it's supposed to happen, even in Nigeria, Logan, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it, because I'll get more calls on trying to pronounce the place. Abasanjo. That and in Owo. That's what we'll do. Everybody know exactly what I'm talking about. That's in Nigeria. These some of the headquarters. And then Anselemologunowa. And nothing, Bubba Kai, give me the distance between Antioch. I know you had it last night, but it got away from us for time's sake. I need no distance between Antioch and Jerusalem, knowing that the name Jerusalem cannot hold up if we investigate it, it won't even hold up. But I need to know that area, and we might touch on that too. No. But right now,
we got that right.
These are your strongholds right here in Lagos. Now, mother, the only way back, according to the seer, is verse number 11. 111. What it says in 111?
Hosea chapter 1, verse 11. Then shall the children of Yahda Judah.
Read it where you see it. Read it where you see it now.
Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel.
Mm-hmm. He said, although you're in every place, you're in all types of lands and everything else, but that's not your home, man. He don't bring you out. Although you've been over there in Nigeria and all these places for a long time, a lot of information I got away from you. They don't know who you are, and that's why this ministry has to soundly show you who you are. It's no blessing of the children of Israel being Muslims, Christians, or Catholics. It's no blessing from the Almighty, spiritually, worldly. You got all the blessings coming worldly.
Mm-hmm.
If you is a bloodline Israelite, it's no blessing in the Almighty that's up in the third heaven. But you being a Christian, Muslim, or Catholic, it's no blessing for you. Only temporary blessing from Satan the devil. Just call it like it is. Whatever blessing you got, how big your building is, who got the hand on it, is Satan the devil. Because he in the blessing business too. And the way he bless you, we might well read that too after mother give me an idea. Mother, back up to that first chapter. I need your name on exactly how big these peoples is, because they got you mixed up as they quick to call you Africans because you're in the land of these places that you've been driven to. But you're not Africans. All the name that you got, that's not you. That's why our minister got to show you soundly who you are if you had a Bible in your hand. And Deuteronomy 1:1, can you help me out with a name there, mother? I need a name in Deuteronomy 1:1.
Okay. What's that say?
Deuteronomy 1:1, I need a name.
Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of Jordan. In the wilderness.
In the wilderness. Good. Good. Now, what did he tell them that is never talked about in a Christian church, a Muslim church, or a Islamic church? What did he tell the children of Israel in verse 8?
Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which Yahweh swore unto your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to give unto them and to their seed after them.
Mm-hmm. And what it says in verse 11 about the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel? What did he say about the day descendants in verse number 11, 500 years later?
Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 11. Yahweh of your father made you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and blessed you as he has promised you.
Mm-hmm. So you're not a minority nowhere with the Bible, but you are a majority wherever you at. Even if you're over there in Madagascar, you're a majority. Everywhere you at, you are a majority up under Yahweh. Now, in the order that you're in, Brother Micaiah, in Acts chapter 3, verse 24, chapter 3, verse 25 and 26, and your order. That's why our ministry has to show you to start rethinking things and stop making moves on emotional, because Yahweh is going to make his move at the time appointed, which we most likely take it at too. I don't know. Might be in this lesson. Exactly how he's going to operate. So right now we're going to see the order of the children of Israel in Acts chapter 3, verse 25 and 26.
The book of Acts, chapter 3, okay. Verse 25 and verse 26. Verse 25 reads, you are the children of the seed and of the covenant which Yahweh made with our father, standing to Abraham. And in your seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Verse 26. Unto you first, Yahweh, having raised up his son, Yahweh the son, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his sins.
Mm-hmm. So, unto you first.
Mm-hmm.
Not Christians, not Muslim, not Catholic, the children of Israel. Your order is first. Now, in all three of your religious establishment, that's the last thing will ever be read and deal with, see? So, unless the Almighty Yahweh, YHWH, builds your temple and your city, you're doing it for nothing. Although your temple reached up and away according to what you're telling me. And another thing, getting back to the women's again, in Leviticus chapter 16, can I give me one verse 21, because we have to deal with it as he gives it to us. Unless you fit this, let's see what it says in Leviticus 16:21. What does it say that we can read?
Going to the book of Leviticus. 16, verse 21. Book of Leviticus. Chapter 16, verse 21. 21 reads. You said Leviticus 16:1, right?
21.
Yeah, 16.
Yeah, I'm in the
21, 22. Okay, right. Leviticus 16. Megan 21 and 22. Listen good to what we what this say here.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 16, verse 21 and 22. 21 reads, "And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the sins of the children of Israel and their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness." Verse 22. "And the goat shall bear upon him all their sins unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness."
Mm-hmm. So the fit man supposed to put his hand on those that have the sickness problem, a fit man. Man. Not what we see on these televisions, a fit man must do that. I mean, a man that have been anointed to do this. But he has to pass the test of being anointed to do so. The man is the one that have that responsibility, that service, not the woman. See? This is it. A fit man, that means anointed man, must apply that. Not because in the book of Matthew, blessings is also when you come up another way, blessings will be passed because somebody is the father of blessings. And we're going to read who the father of blessings is that is contrary to the Bible, that he's in the blessing business too. Because your place go all the way up, all the way across. But if it's out of order, it's not the will of Yahweh. So in Matthew chapter 4 there, young lion, Brother Micaiah, let's see what we can read that we can read. Look at verse 5. Let's read verse 5. Let's see what happened in Matthew chapter 4, verse 5.
The book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. Verse 5 reads, "Then the devil taking him up into the righteous city and seated him on a pinnacle of the temple." Verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
"And said unto him,"
He has something to show him. Good. Hold that point right there. Then what happened next in verse 8 and 9?
Okay. Verse 8 and verse 9. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 8 reads, "Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them." Verse 9. "And said unto him, all these things will I give you, if you will fall down and worship me."
Yeah. He said, "I'll give it to you." How do you worship Satan? First of all, the day that Mother Eve, the day that he said that you are before man was created in Genesis 2, verse 3, it's no never mind. Mother Eve, what it say we can read in Genesis 2, verse 3? All you got to do is ignore this right here. Then all of a sudden, the blessing will come on you. Mother Eve, Genesis 2, verse 3 says what?
Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. "And Yahweh blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he has blessed it from all his works, which Yahweh created and made."
I was reading this this memo was sent to me about the young lady got, she was heading to the Roman Catholic Church to worship on Sunday. Her name is Deborah Emmanuel. She was heading to worship on Sunday. She was heading to worship on Sunday. But Sunday is not the blessed day. Sunday is the first day of the week. So now, so understand that she was heading to a Roman Catholic Church establishment in Nigeria on Sunday. So then she was met by a group of non-Catholics. A confrontation came, and she and people that were with her ended up shot to death. She was going to church on Sunday. The Muslims go to church Friday and Sunday. Christians go to church on Sunday. See, so that's the wrong day. And 127 verse 1 say you're laboring in vain if you don't do things according to the Bible. But you have to be taught to be contrary to the Bible and receive your blessings. I mean, you know, according to what I'm hearing, you got great big monuments, but that's laboring in vain because it's not a Yahwali because he don't have no Sunday worship. Sunday worship is a work day. In Luke chapter 4 there, Brother Micaiah, we're going to Luke chapter 4, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 4 and pick up verse 5 down to verse 7. Listen to this here. Luke 4, 5 through 7.
Book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 5 down to 7. Verse 5 reads, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Verse 6, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I give you. Verse 7, if you therefore will worship me, all shall be yours.
If you worship me, all will be yours. Satan day is Sunday. The almighty day when the sun go down on Friday, the sun go down on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
If you bow down and worship me on Sunday, you're worshiping the devil. You're not worshiping Nigeria, Christians, that's Israelites being Christians, Israelites being Muslims, Israelites being Catholics. You worship the devil. So it got to be some ministry to show you that what you're doing. Now, Mother D of Israel, hold what you got there, Bob McCall, on the back up. Mother E, back up to Genesis chapter 17 and give me 18 out of verse 21. I want, remember the statement is, we get along us Muslims and Catholics and Christians, we get all along. But is that biblically wise? We'll find out. Let's find out what the order that we can read in Genesis chapter 17, Mother E. What is the record? What's the order thing that we can read that's coming out the heavenly tablets in Genesis 17, 18 down to verse 21? What can we read? Come on.
The book of Genesis, chapter 17, verses 18 to 21, verse 18. And Abraham said unto Yahweh, O that Ishmael might live before thee. And Yahweh said, Further, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him, by an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 prince shall he be given. And I will make him a great nation. Verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Pharaoh shall bear unto thee,
at this time in the next year.
He said, now 12 princes are going to come out of him. That's what we just got through reading. But he said, but when it comes down to the Bible, worshiping, or my covenant, it will be with Isaac. That's what he just said. So Isaac is the one that's supposed to have the covenant, not Ishmael. Now, where it went from there, we'll find out a little bit later. The Almighty let Ishmael. But did you notice anything that you're talking about Ishmael? He said nothing about the name that you just called now. He said nothing about a Christian. He said nothing about a Muslim, because both of these names replace the biblical names of the Bible. That's the point we made. His name called Ishmael. How did you get Muslim out of that name? That ain't what his father called him. Say, Ishmael. That, he said, I'm going to bless Ishmael and his 12 sons. Now we're going to find out where you get this name called the Muslim or the Christian from. See? It's not going to add up. Now, then they went to the Catholic. The young lady went to a Catholic establishment, and the Catholic establishment is where always Esau is the head of the Catholic. Then he put somebody that looked like the children of Israel. But Marie, what did he say about that we can read in Genesis 28, verse 1, and Mother dear of Israel, me. 10-15. What can we read in the 28th chapter? And I want to find out what is the name of Brother Mackay in the 25th chapter. I want to find out. I still want to find out some names. I need to find some names in the 25th chapter about Ishmael. I need to find some of these names that we can read in verse number 11 down to verse number 15, Brother Micaiah, and Genesis 25, 11 down to verse 15. I need some names. But right now, I'm back to Mother E. Mother E, what it says in Genesis 28, verse 1 and 6, and Mother D of Israel, have me 10 through 15 ways.
Genesis chapter 28, verse 1 and verse 6. Verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughter of Canaan. Verse 6. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan-Aram to take him a wife from the tent, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughter of Canaan.
So Esau had five sons, which called the leader of the Roman Catholic Church. Esau saw something in verse 6 that he'll never tell you behind any microphone. What did Esau saw in verse 6 there, Mother, for this national audience, clear about it and not be fumbling around with it? Now, Esau saw something in verse 6, but no establishment would read this verse what he saw. What did Esau that we can read? And Esau today, which is called a Roman Catholic Church, like the one over there, Big Timothy Dolan in New York and in Rome, they saw something. And what did they see in verse 6 that we all can read together? Mom, what did they see?
He saw that Isaac told Jacob to take a wife from Padan-Aram and not take a wife from the daughter of Canaan.
No, we ain't talking about that. Hold that part, Mother. We We said, what did Esau saw in verse 6? What did he saw that would nobody would never tell you what he saw or read in any sermon? What did Esau saw in verse 6?
Okay, in verse 6, Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob.
That what he saw, huh? So you can hide all the records you want to hide, but what the record says, what did Esau saw? What did he saw?
That Isaac had blessed Jacob.
Oh, so you see that? That's not going to never be told. The Roman Catholic Church, Dick Timothy Dolan out in New York, they never read that Esau saw the blessing that was put on their father to Jacob. Nobody can ever tell you that. But we'll tell you that. So there it is right there. Saw it. Now just don't hear the records. $10.15 that mother. D.F. Israel. What it said? 10:9-15.
Genesis 28, verse 10 to 15. Verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. Verse 11. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stone of that place and put them for his pillow and laid down in the place to sleep. Verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angel of Yahweh ascending and descending on it. Verse 13. And beheld, Yahweh stood above it and said, I am Yahweh of Abraham, your father, and Yahweh of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to you will I give it, and to your seed. Verse 14. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 15. And behold, I am with you and will keep you in all places whether thou goest, and will bring you again unto this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of.
So he says, I'm going to bring you back to a land, and a land that is not the land that you got going on right now, but you got to get your mind right. The land that you're in right now, land we in right now, that's not the land that can bring you back to. So it's about organizing the people to understand one thing. All the titles that you have as labels and that you have to put them down, because as long as you continue, I ain't going to stay on that a little bit long. That was great action by mother. I was just getting ready to do a little bit more on about the blessing of Isaac, but our past. And for Ishmael to understand one thing, the one you call the Arabs today, Ishmael did not receive the blessing. Isaac received the blessing. Now Isaac passed it on to Jacob, and Jacob passed it to the 12 tribes of Israel. So that's where the blessing, everything lies in their hand. But we want to get off of that for a minute and hold what you got there, Brother McKay. We want to put that down for a minute, because that was read excellent by Mother D of Israel, so we need to beat on that no more, but we need to go and take a look at a couple of things along the way. I'm looking at a couple of things. See, once we, you understand something, we're not going to sit down with anyone unless you come into the bond of the covenant. You got to first hear the covenant, then we talk. We're not talking about a Christian, a Muslim, or a Christian, Muslim, or Catholic. That is not our conversation. That's a waste of time because it's not biblically the order of the Bible is what we want to discuss to the Nigerians and to those that laboring in vain. See, as long as you're laboring in vain, and as long as you let emotion put people in place, and it's not biblically, it's not going to stand. So now I want to go back to that Numbers 27, that Brother Micaiah. Now I need that Numbers, because I want to take care of a little something on the way of taking care of something. Because we have to understand one thing. It's not about the Numbers. It's about the order of Yahuwah. If the order is not right, Yahuwah is not going to intervene. This is what he's saying to the children of Israel. And what he said, this is the, give me 7:57. What did it say that we can read? What did he say you can read that, Brother Mackay? Give me 7:57. What can we read for this national audience?
Okay, going over to the book of 2nd Ezra, pick it up at chapter 7, at verse 57. The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 7, verse 57 reads, "Then answered he me and said, this is the condition of the battle, which man that is born upon the earth shall fight."
So he got, this is the condition of the battle. The condition of this battle is you clearly have to bring this to the table in number 6:22-27. This is the condition of the battle. So those that's in all these Catholics, Christian, Islamic, that's Israel, this is the of the battle that we're getting ready to read in Numbers 6:22-27. What can we read, young line?
The book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 22 down to 27. Verse 22 reads, "And Yahuwah spake unto Moses, saying, 23, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, 24, that Yahuwah bless you and keep you. 25, Yahuwah make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Verse 26, Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. 27, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them."
And you put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Not Christian, Muslim, or Catholic. I believe you in all three of them. The young lady lost her life by going to a Christian establishment in the land called OWO. You see? The blessing is when you do his will, not what help me out, mother, help me out. Daniel chapter 3. Hey, mother, take a look at Daniel chapter 3 for me a minute. The statement I need, in Daniel chapter 3 there, Mother E. I can stand a statement in Daniel chapter 3, and let's see what we can work with in Daniel chapter 3. See, we cannot continue to do a Daniel chapter 3. I don't care how good it looks and who broke the tape and everything. In Daniel chapter 3 there, Mother E, what can we read that we have to make clear in Daniel chapter 3, what do it say in verse number 2? And most of Israel, read verse 3. Daniel 3:2. And most of Israel, read verse 3:3.
Daniel 3:2. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together the prince, the governor, and the captain, the judges, the treasurer, and the council, the sheriff.
The sheriff, he called the sheriff, he called the officer of the law, sheriff. Yeah, he called the officer of the law. He said, hey, officer of the law with that badge on. He called the sheriff. What happened to the sheriff and?
Okay. The sheriff and all the rulers of the province to come to the dictation of the enemy with Nebuchadnezzar, the king has set up.
Wait a minute, mother. They was coming to the dedication of a king, Kaneza, which he done what?
Set up.
What he set up? What he set up, and that what we're doing today? And isn't that what we're doing today? And we go on to places where somebody else will set up? And that what we do? And we are Roman Catholic Church members? Isn't we Christian members? And we Islam members? Yahweh didn't set that up. But that's where we at. What? Nebuchadnezzar set up. Israel, you cannot continue to go places where the other nations set up. We can set up something real big too. So, and the big dignitaries want to find a place that Yahweh set up, not what they set up. Christian, Islam, Judaism, Yahweh did. He didn't set that up. What does it say, Mother, in verse 3?
Daniel chapter 3, verse 3. Then the prince, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. I can never get his name right.
So that's the bottom line. See, long as we continue to be in something that the other nation have set up, which is contrary to Yahweh, and he made it plain in 14, plain on Mother D. F. Israel, St. John 14, he made it plain that we can read in 14 chapter St. John. This is what he said that we can read. He said, now, if you're going to continue to go to places where they set up, and they is to save the devil and his sheriffs, his officers, and everything else. So he made it plain in what we can read in 14, verse number 30. Read verse 29, make it sound good. Because right now, he did say, well, I ain't got much to say to you, but I'm going to say something to you. So right now, he's not talking to you right now. He's talking through somebody else. But we'll get to that later. But look what we can read in verse 14, 29, and 30 of St. John, Mother D.F. Israel.
Okay. St. John, chapter 14. Wait just a minute. This Bible is no. So I got to get my pages right.
Verse 29 and verse 30.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to turn the pages. St. John chapter 14, verse 29 and 30. And it reads, "And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe." Verse 30. "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and has nothing in me."
Yeah. So the prince of this world works through the Roman Catholic Church, he works through the Christian Church, and the Islamic Church. That's what Satan the devil works through. Because all three of them is contrary, and all this good things are going on right now, but that's what Satan works through. You have nothing of the mighty one called Yahweh. So whatever you got going on over there, it's not biblically wise. So he says, I'm not going to talk much to you, but I'm going to do something that you can read in 14 verse 12, my dear Israel. I'm going to do something, read verse 10, make it sound good. 14, 10, and 12. He said, but I tell you what, I will do something that you can read, because I'm not going to talk much to you as they always have me saying so much in every sermon. But what he did say he'll do in 14, verse 10 and 12, that we can read, Mother dear Israel, what he says in the same book, St. John 14, verse 10 and verse 12, what he said we can read.
St. John chapter 14, verse 10 and verse 12. Verse 10, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work." Verse 12, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father."
Now, we can't beat that little bit and take it down to Matthew and St. John, where it says, now, you go find out what that means. I ain't gonna even go that far with you. Now, you hear that person on the table? So, you see, he ain't all this you got in your throat with the wrong name, everything. It don't work like that. It don't work like that, but I told you how it's going to work. The closest thing you're going to get the information, you're getting it right now from the Six Anointed Camps of Born for True Israelite. Take it away you want to take it. That's the way it is. Now, back to Brother Micaiah. Now, we read that the blessings in the name of Israel, and none of these three organizations use the name unless it's derogatory statements about the peoples of the book. But he says in 2 Kings 17:34 there, Brother Micaiah, he says something in 2 Kings 17:34. What did he say?
Going over to the book of 2 Kings. Chapter 17, verse 34. 2 Kings. Chapter 17, verse 34. 34 reads, "Unto this day, they do after the former manner. They fear not Yahweh, neither do they after their Torah instruction, or after their orders, or after their Torah instructions which Yahweh commanded the children of Israel, whom he named Israel."
Read that again, because if you read the way you see it, it'll speak for itself. So read the way you see it, that young lion, for this national audience, because it's going to break down. He's going to break it down for himself. Come on with that verse one more time.
The book of 2 Kings, chapter 17, verse 34. 34 reads, "Unto this day, they do after the former manner. They fear not Yahweh, neither do they after their statutes, or after their orders, or after their law and commandments which Yahweh commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel.
You hear that? So the children of Jacob, he told Jacob that that's not your name anymore. Your name is Israel. And so the blessings in the name of Israel. Now, everything going on in Nigeria, it's nothing pertaining to that, none of that. But you, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18. Stay in 18 there. Look at verse 31, 36 through 39. Listen to this real good. 1 Kings 18, 31. Brother Micaiah and skip down to 36 to 39. Listen to this right here. Look what got to happen. See, what got to happen is what we can read, then we're going to comment after it's read. We're going to 1 Kings 18, 31, then skip down to 36 to 39. What does it say? Come on.
The book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 31, and skip it down to 36, down to 39. Book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 31. 31 reads, and Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel, or the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of Yahweh came, saying, Israel should be your name. Verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the seer came near and said, Yahweh, Yahweh of Abraham, Yahweh of Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that you are Yahweh of Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things in your name. Verse 37, hear me, O Yahweh, hear me, that this people may know that you are Yahweh, Yahweh, and that you are, and you have turned their mind back again. Verse 38. Then the fire of Yahweh fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice in the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, Yahweh, he is Yahweh, the Yahweh. He is Yahweh.
Yeah. So what is it going to take you to do? What do you say? See, what you want to understand, one thing, you scattered in every nation upon the sun. You don't call him by his name. You don't know your name. And you got too many of this bondage that you made with other nations, which is contrary to the Bible that you be working with. And you do things that the Bible don't support it. And you got to come together up under the Bible. We will not meet with any other group until you understand what the Bible is saying. Because that's why we come on these networks 6 nights a week to show you what the Bible is saying. You got to understand the bond of the covenant must first be Give me what I need. Bible. Give me Matthew 5:37. But Micaiah, give me. This is what the Bible got to be. It got to be Matthew 5. Whatever I just said. 37. This is how the Bible got to be. It got to be. Help me out there, but Micaiah. Give me Matthew 5:37. What it say?
Okay, going to the book of Matthew. Chapter 5, verse 37. Book of Matthew, chapter 5, 37 reads, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil.
You see that? That's how your conversation got to be. When we set it up, conversation got to be yea, yea, or nay, nay. Anything other than that is evil. So we have to sit the ground field exactly how it got to be, or it's to work biblically, not emotionally. Now, in Acts chapter 2, let's see what you was gonna do. Let's go to Isaiah and see the prophecy of it first, and let's see when it unfolds itself. Mother Eve, what's the prophecy that we can read in Isaiah 65:15? What's the prophecy? The prophecy of the seer made a profound statement. Mother Eve, he said something that we can read in Isaiah 65:16. What can we read that was told to Isaiah in 700 B.C.?
Isaiah 65:15.
Yes.
Isaiah 65:15. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto the chosen, unto my chosen. For Yahweh shall slay thee and call your servant by another name.
He said, you're going to leave your name for a cursed name. He said, you told Isaiah in 700 B.C., the name you're going to be, you're going to leave your name, and you said, we know what your name was given to you was Israel. He said, you're going to put that name down, and you're going to identify more big by calling it Christian, Muslim, or Catholic. Now, Deborah, Samuel, YAKUBU, was going to worship in a Catholic establishment in a town called OWO, and she met some rabble rousers, and they had a confrontation, and they ended up all dead by going there. You see what happened? Now y'all in an uproar. Right? What happened? What part of the leadership that did not do? This is the point. The leadership did not do, Mother Dear of Israel, it did not do a First Maccabees 446. This never came to the table. First Maccabees 446, what can we read?
First Maccabees chapter 4:46, and laid up the stone in the mountain of the temple in a convenient place until there should come a seer to show what should be done with them.
You didn't do that. Now run over to the 30th chapter of Isaiah. And let's see what we can read in verse 21, Mother Dear of Israel. That didn't happen. See, you didn't find out that it is a sincere, as we speak, that would have said plainly, going to establishment where the Roman Catholic Church is at, going to establishment where Christians at, or Muslims at, is a no-no, and thus says Yahweh. Don't work like that because there's no blessing there. It's not a blessing from Yahweh, and anything that's not of Yahweh is temporary from Satan to death. I haven't told you that. So now Isaiah 30, precept there to verse 30 and 31. Listen to what it's saying. Now, would you pay attention to what the Bible's saying? What it's saying about the dear of Israel in Isaiah 30, verse 20 and 21.
Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20 and 21. Verse 20. And though Yahweh gave you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see your teachers. 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left.
See? A word behind you is turning you now. That ain't the way to go. You don't go to a Christian establishment. You don't go to an Islamic establishment. You don't go to a Roman Catholic establishment if you know you are the biblical Israelites of the Bible. That's a no-no with Almighty Yahweh. Okay? We're going to back up, Brother Micaiah. I want to show you that when you're out of order, it'll show up on your demeanor. But when you're in order, it'll show up on your demeanor too. I'm gonna show you something. I'm gonna show you when something's in order, it'll show up on your demeanor. But when you're out of order, it'll show up on your demeanor too. So you have to be in a position to see exactly what's before you. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 there, Brother Micaiah. And then we're going to seek him to get around to Mother Z. Let her address this national audience that says, getting memos keep coming in now. It's late. We are 6 hours ahead of you. But we're going to listen to you all the way. Okay? All right. 1 Samuel 2, 1 and 2. What did it say there, Bob Mackay? Let's see something. Let me show you something. That what you want to. If you do the right thing, do Bible, let's see what happens. 1 Samuel 2, 1 and 2 says what?
1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 reads, and it came to pass after this, that David inquired of Yahuwah, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Yadah-Judah? And Yahuwah said to him.
Wait a minute. What you read? Hold on. What you read? You reading 1 Samuel 2, 1 and 2?
No, it's actually the same. Going over there, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1, mm-hmm. 3. And Hannah prayed and said, my mind rejoiced in Yahuwah. My horn is exalted in Yahuwah. My mouth is enlarged over my enemy, because I rejoice in your salvation. Verse 2. There is none righteous as Yahuwah, for there is none beside you, neither is there any rock like our Yahuwah.
You hear what I'm saying? Now you hear what I'm saying? Like, you see what you said? You said, I'm rejoicing. I'm just as happy as I can be. What made us so happy, and that's the point we're making, see, right here. If you're in company of people that don't have the spirit of Hannibal, then you know that's not of Yahuwah. If you're in a ball of confusion in a conversation, then you know clearly it's not the spirit of Hannibal. She said, I'm happy to meet some Yahuwah. So when you see that spirit, it'll wipe off on you. But if you always come in contact with people and they always got the wrong spirit, the big mouth spirit, the hollering spirit always on them, that'll drain you. You don't have that. You got to have a spirit on hand on you. Now, what made us so happy? What made us so happy that we can read? Back up to the first chapter, 1 verse 22 down verse 28. What made her so happy? What made her what now she could sit around and say, I'm as happy as I can be? What did she do for Yahuwah to put the happy spirit on her that we can read? 1 Samuel 1, 22 down verse 28, Brother Micaiah. What did she do that when she said, when I come to the temple side, I'm just as happy as I can be because I know who my rock is. I know what my salvation is all about. What did she do? She had to do something. Let's find what she did in 1:22 down to verse 28.
The book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 22 down to 28. 22 reads, and Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him.
Wean the child. She said, I gotta wean this child. He said, look here, I gotta keep my eye on this child and wean him, get him weaned up real good. Then I'm going to the temple site. That's what she just said. Go ahead, Harry.
And then I will bring him, that he may appear before Yahuwah, and there abide forever. Verse 23. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth you good. Tarry until you have weaned him. Only Yahuwah established his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the temple of Yahuwah in Shiloh, and the child was young. Verse 25. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. Verse 26. And she said, O my Yahuwah, as your soul lives, my Yahuwah, I am the woman that stood by you here praying unto Yahuwah. Verse 27. For this child I pray, and Yahuwah hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Verse 28. Therefore also I have lent him to Yahuwah. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to Yahuwah, and he worship Yahuwah there.
So you see why she was happy? So you see why she was happy? Because she knew, and she called Eli Yahuwah. She had a folk talking right, talking good. She had everything. Now look at the spirit she got. Now she happy. Happy as she can be. Because she followed the rules and regulations of Yahuwah. And it'll make you happy. Now you said, I'm not going to bring him nowhere until I wing him. So how long did she wing him? How long did she wing him and then gave him up? Did she try to hold on to him? How long did she wing him that we can read 2 Kings 11, verse 4? Skip down to verse 20 and verse 21. I'm going to wing him. Then I know one thing. I'm going to make sure he's in hand anointed leadership and let him take him there. And she, you see how spirit she was in 2, 1 and 2? Happy as she can be. She's happy about everything. See, that's the spirit Yahuwah will tell you. Matter of fact, read that, Mother E. Read that in 5:22 of Galatians. So you'll know when you stand around a person with spirit on them or they got the devil on them. You'll know when they got the devil on them. Now, the Galatians 5:22, you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mother E, what it say we can read in Galatians 5:22?
Okay. Let me get that. The book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22, reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and the covenant.
Mm-hmm. And before David noted that, Mother D.F. Israel in 1 Kings 10, you both better just look right at it and see it. Now, let's see what the eyewitness says when things is going away, is in the hand of Yahuwah. What the eyewitness say in 1 Kings chapter 10? And we'll look at verse number 8 and verse 9. We ain't going to beat it, but just going to tell you exactly what to be looking for. See, this is what you got to look for. So when you is invited to, when you do up the road, we're going to do all that. All of them come into, you know, the 6th anointed camp. We know they're coming, but our demeanor will be according to the Bible. And this is this report that they're going to have in us. They're going to have a report in us that we can read in 1 Kings chapter. Because somebody got to the stage. Somebody got to the stage according to the Bible. What it says in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. This is the eyewitness. This has got to be the eyewitness. Hold on, Mother. Hold on. Let me get my stand real quick. So they're going to be peeping on you. You don't just play as we speak right now. So we still got to make sure we see what this Bible's saying, then we know what the next move is. This is what the report have to be right here. 10, verse 9 and 10. What does it say? Bring it. Mother D.F. Israel.
9 and 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. I thought it was 8.
Well, make it 8. 8. Make it 8 and 9. Make it 8 and verse 9. Verse 8 and verse 9. How about that?
1 Kings chapter 10, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8. Happy are you men. Happy are those your servants which stand continuously before you and that hears your wisdom. Verse 9. Blessed be Yahweh, your Yahweh, which delighteth in you, to set you on the throne of Israel, because Yahweh loved Israel forever. Therefore, may he, you king, to do judgment and justice.
Now he loved the Catholic forever, Mother of Israel.
He loved Israel.
Now he loved the Christian forever, Mother of Israel.
Now he loved Israel.
Now he loved the Islamic Muslim forever.
No, he loved Israel forever.
Oh, you see that? So you see when you bring the Bible back in, that's the eyewitness saying who the Almighty with the Bible, that's who he loved. Mm-hmm. He loved Israel. I mean, we read that. And they noticed by the love he had for Israel, and our report is happy, delight.
Yeah.
Ain't no cutting eyes and big black mouths going all over the place. Everything is in order. And that's when you know Yahweh is in the place. When everything in order, that's when Yahweh is in the place. So there it is right there. So you about to be able to see this from the page of the book. Then you know exactly what you're dealing with. If this spirit is you around, then right on. If this spirit is you not around, that's the devil in that individual. You have to make your judgment on it. Matter of fact, your judgment has to be 27 verse 12, Brother Micaiah. Then we're going to bring Mother Z and get up and address this national order. And what kind of judgment you make? You make a Brother Micaiah of Sarai 27 verse 12. This is kind of Bible judgment you make. 27 verse 12. What does it say there, Brother Micaiah? Bring it. Brother Micaiah, 27 verse 12. Pick it up, Mother Dear, this girl.
So, Rod, chapter 20.
Yeah, 27 verse 12. Sirach
chapter 27, verse 12. If thou be among the district, observe the time, but be continuously among
the industry. If you be among the industry, you be around those that out of order in Yahweh. Big black mouth going, you are among the industry. And if you're among the industry, according to the Bible, what do you say you do?
Observe the time, but be continuously among men of understanding.
You see that? That means you observe the time. If you're among company got big black mouth going, out of order, observe the time. Because it's not of Yahweh. Exert the time. Where you was going to give 3 minutes, cut it down to half a minute. Talk about your business. Because it's not the will of Yahweh according to the Bible. Once you understand that, fine. We're going to bring Mother Z, and she's going to dress this national audience out there in Nigeria, the Roman Catholic Church, WCC, and Latter-day Saints. They all on the network over 500,000 plus. And Mother E going to address them, and she got something to tell them, so we all going to listen. But before we bring Mother E in, let's bring our elder and get his closing statement on tape number 123. Hey, elder, Mr. Till, what is your closing statement on tape number 133? You on the clock, come on. Hey, Mr. Till, what's your closing statement on tape 133. You're saying loud bass things. Seer, your program is running too good. Why don't I just mute the elder?
No.
Mother Z, you're on the clock to address this national audience. It's all yours. Come on.
Hallelujah. I'm going to read for the national audience about the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to start reading in Galatians. I'm just going to read a chapter or two in Galatians, and then I'm going to Romans. Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. And this I said, that the covenant that was confirmed before of Yahweh is Yahweh the Son, the Torah instruction which was 430 years after cannot disannul that it should make the promise of non-effect. I'm not going to read all that chapter. I'm just going to, and then I'm going to go to Galatians 5 and 16. Galatians 5 and 16 reads, This I said then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then I'm going to read in the book of Romans, in the 8th chapter. And I'm going to read down, the book of Romans. There is therefore no, Romans 8 chapter in verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Yahweh the Son, Yahweh who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Yahweh the Son, Yahweh has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3, for what the law could not do is that it was weak through. Wait a minute, I gotta turn the page. Weak in the flesh, Yahweh sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and sin condemning in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnal mind is death, but to be spiritual mind is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is emptied against Yahweh, but it is not subjected to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can it be. Verse 8. So that then they that are after the first cannot please Yahweh. Verse 9. Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of Yahweh dwell in you, now if any man have not the spirit of Yahweh the Son, he is none of his. Verse 10, and if Yahweh the Son be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Yahweh the Son from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Yahweh the Son from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by the spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Verse 13. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And I would just like to send to the next order. It's a lot in there about the fruit of the spirit in this book. So maybe, you know, the nationalities might want to read some of it sometime. And I would just like to say, hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Yeah, well, if you have the spirit of Yahweh, you want to find from the page of the book. If you don't have the spirit of Yahweh, you're not none of his. And bottom line. Now, let's hallelujah, Yahweh, on that mother. See? Now I want to go back and see what we have. We read that in Isaiah 65:15, that you're going to leave your name for a curse. Now, Brother Micaiah, what names did you leave for a curse, and where were you at when you did it? That's fine. Let's go to Acts chapter. Let's see what name that we can read that the children of Israel are going to leave their name, Israel, and they're going to be called by a curse name. What name is that we can read in Acts 11:26 there, Brother Micaiah? Let's see what it says. Acts 11:26. What can we read, Brother Micaiah? You on the clock, come on.
The book of Acts, chapter 11, picking up at verse 26. 26 reads, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the followers were called Christians first in Antioch.
So it was called Christian first in Antioch. It wasn't called Christian first in Jerusalem, which is included for southern kingdom of Judah. So it wasn't called Christians there. They went all the way down to Antioch. they got that name at, like over there in Nigeria, when you got the name now called Muslims and Catholics. You didn't get it from Jerusalem, which is Pluto for Judah. And really, if you want to know the truth about it, Second Chronicles 11:4-5, that's Mr. Jebus' name. That's Mr. Jebus, the Jebusites. That's their name, really. But we're not going to even touch on that. But he said, you was called these names Christians. And the word Christian came from Christos. So Christo, Christ, Christian. He said, you're going to be, this is what you'll be called. But the first time you'll be called that will be in Antioch. And what you did when you got to Antioch, you left your name for a curse. Your name was Israel, and you left it for a curse. Now, Bubba Kai, how many miles did they go to receive that name from Jerusalem to Antioch? How many miles is that?
Okay. It's 7,396.1 miles from Antioch, from Jerusalem to Antioch.
Well, where is Antioch at then? If it's 7,000 miles at, where is Antioch located? What is it? Where is that located at? To be 7,000 miles, where is that at? Antioch. You mean it was 7,000 miles away, above Micaiah? Can you tell me what location, geographic location, is Antioch in?
Okay, the Antioch.
That's where it's at. It's in Greece. So they're way over there in Greece, being called Christians. What you got there, Brother Micaiah? What you working with? Where is Antioch located?
Okay. Reading from the Google dictionary, it says that Antioch on it says in Turkey, to which is the ancient city. It says it's in Turkey.
Of Greece.
The ancient city. It says the ancient city stands in Turkey.
And we can go all the way back to when they landed. When they landed in a certain place, we can go all the way back to that place too. It's Turkey, and when they on Mount Ararat, all that we can trace it all back to Mount Ararat, modern day Turkey, Greece, all that we can trace that back. That's how many miles they went before they got that name they got on now, and now that name on spread every direction. Now, another name that they call, the children of Israel is called. And let's go to the prophecy, another name they call in Micah, M-I-C-H, another name they call in prophecy that was talked about that they're going to be called by this name too. Let's see what it says in Micah, M-I-C-A-H, 1-1. What does it say that, Brother Micaiah?
They're heading over to Micah. Chapter 1, verse 1. Book of Micah, chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, the word of Yahuwah that came to Micah, the Moreite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and
Stop it there. Stop it there. Ho. Stop it there. I'm going to go. What name? What name you just got to be reading again? Back to Micah 1-1. Micah 1-1. Micah was who?
Word of Yahuwah, they came to Micah the Moreite.
Stop right there. Then we get the word called the Moors from it there, see, right? That's how they untwist that word and call the Moors, and they come out with identification, my knee is black. Now, this is an ancient word, the word Moor came from here. Micah, the Moreite. That's where the word Moors come from, right there. You know, they got, now you got a whole people call a race of Moors, which is Yada, Judah, everybody. But no, here's where the word Moors right here. Right here is where the word Moors came from, right here. Here is the biblical name for the name called the Moors. And they get it from who? 1:1 again.
The book of Micah, chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, the word of Yahweh that came to Micah, the Morstite.
There's it there. That's where the word Morse came from, right there. Now let's go to find out something else happened over in Antioch, old day Greece, modern day Turkey. It's called Ararat first, when Noah and his three sons land on the mountain called Ararat. From there it come to be Turkey, Greece. It came to be all that place. Let's see what's going on there so we can read. We're going to Acts 13, verse 1. Read where you see it, and we'll put the breakdown in the dramatics on it. Come on.
Look back. Chapter 13, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, now there came in the church that was at Antioch certain elders and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been bumped up with.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. So, this is where you get the word called Nigeria, Niger, and they're talking about the nigger. That's where the nigger come from right here. Here go, and we could go in the book of Sarada and find out that you can't be a nigger at the table. Matter of fact, bring that out where that word came from Micaiah, by being a nigger at the table. So this is where you get the word called Nigerian. Nigerian. You get the word called the Nile River. All that can end up when the woman call you a nigger. But he pulled it out of the prophecy of the book of Sirach, being a nigger at the table. This is where it's not a nationality. This is a byword for you, children of Israel. This is a byword for you. Nile, nigger, Nigeria, all these can trace back to the hands of somebody else putting on labels on you to throw you away from this right here. And in the book of Sirach, Brother Micaiah, can you help me out? And you tell children of Israel, don't be a nigger at the table. Can you bring that verse out for this national audience there, Brother Micaiah?
Yeah, the book of Sirach, chapter 14, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, a wicked eye in it has bread, and he is a nigger at his table.
You see, you can be a nigger at the table if you think the word Nigeria, Niger, nigger means a nationality. Now that's a byword in a proverb right on you. So you're a nigger at the table when you love to punk your chest up by being a Nigerian. Nigerian only make you a nigger at the table. Some other people putting the word in, prophecy. Now they said the church came there, Mother E. Who's this church that they're talking about? That they're talking about a church. Now, what church they talking about there, Mother? They said a church. The church was at Antioch. Now, it was a church there, Mother. Who is this church that we can read about the church? A church. The church was where? Hey, Mother E, what was the church at in Acts 7, 22, 23, and 38? What was the church at? And then you will knock out the pog on your own and a closing statement in verse number 17, verse 1. Let's find about this church that came to Antioch. Let's find out about it in Acts 7, 22, 23, and verse 38. What was the church at? Then you swing down to Exodus 17, verse 1. Write it down, Mother Z. Make sure she got that 17, verse 1. And she can keep it on running down in a closing statement. Read 22, 23, and 38. Then swing on down to Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. And Mother D of Israel helped me, Joshua 14, verse 10, waiting on me. Come on.
The book of Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 7, verse 22. And Moses was living. And Moses would learn in all the wisdom of Egypt, and was mighty in words and in deeds. Verse 23. And when he was fully 40 years old, it came into his mind to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Verse 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the ministering spirits which speak to him in the Mount Sinai and with our father.
Good, mother. So Moses with the children of Israel, and you read in 22 and 23, and then you find out this word, children of Israel, became a church in the wilderness. And then we're going to precept that to 17 verse 1 and find out exactly who was in the wilderness. So who was in the wilderness that we can read, because all the big establishments got the name on their buildings, like the synagogue, Church of all nations. That's where Pastor Prophetess Yvonne Joshua got for all nations over there in Lagos, Nigeria. So let's find out exactly who in the wilderness we can read in Exodus 17, verse 1. That mother in the closing statement, come on.
Look at Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journey according
good.
To the commandment.
Good. All we want to know is who was in the wilderness, that mother. And so who was in the wilderness, mother, that we can read? That's called the church now. Who was in the wilderness that we can read, mother? So when you see the word church, mother, what do that biblically mean, the word church? What do it biblically mean, the word church?
The congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel.
That's what it really means about the word called the church. So those that tell you about a church on a church, university church all the way over there in Nigeria, the church on, that is a polluted word from Satan the devil to get you off your blessing by not calling the place the children of Israel, temple site. Church is a polluted word for the children of Israel. Got it? Nigerian? And in Nigeria is another polluted word for again. So you got it? Good. All right, Mother E, where's your closing statement? I net you on the clock. Come on.
Thank and praising Yahweh for this class. Thank and praising Yahweh for the teaching and everyone that's in the class. I'm going to be Proverbs 21, 2 or 3 verses. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. The king's mind is in the hands of Yahweh. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whatsoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Yahweh pardons the mind. To do just and judgment is more acceptable to the Yahweh than a sacrifice. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Excellent. That's Mother E and Mother Z. A couple of the mothers out of Camp One. Find Mother D of Israel. And we're going to see exactly, could we get a second witness of, when you see his word church, and they pointed toward it being in the wilderness, in the book of Joshua 14, verse 10, that Mother D of Israel, what can we read about the church in the wilderness? In Joshua chapter 14, verse 10.
And now, behold, Yahweh has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since Yahweh spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old.
Mm-hmm. So, when you see this word church, Mother D of Israel, what is this, basically, what is the true origin of the word church? What is that word really saying, church? What is it talking about? The children of Israel in the wilderness. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness and fleeing down to Sirach chapter 17 there, Mother. Sirach chapter 17. And we're going to look at verse number 14 down to verse 18 in a closing statement. Let's look at Sirach chapter 17, verse 14 down to verse 18 in a closing statement, that Mother D of Israel. Sirach chapter 17. Verse 14 down to verse 18 in the closing statement. You're on the clock. Come on.
Sirach chapter 17, verse 14 to 18. Verse 14. And he said unto them, beware of all unrighteousness. And he gave every man commandments concerning his neighbor. 15. Their ways are ever before him and shall not be hid from his eyes. 16. Every man from his youth is given to evil. Neither could they make to themselves fleshly minds for stone. Verse 17. For in the division of the nations of the whole earth, he set a ruler over every people, but Israel is Yahweh's portion. Verse 18, who being his firstborn, he nourished with discipline and giving him the light of his love, do not forsake him.
So he said, who's his firstborn again, Mother? Who's his firstborn here?
Israel.
And he said he's not going to forsake Israel. I wonder where did Sirach pull that from, Mother E? Mother D of Israel. I wonder where he pulled that from in Exodus 4:22 in the closing statement. Where did he pull that from? Where did he pull that verse from to make it, let the world know that Israel is the Almighty's firstborn? Where did he pull that from that we can read? We might well read verse 21 and 22, the fourth chapter of Exodus, and a closing statement. What you got there, Mother? D of Israel, okay. Exodus 4, 21 and 22.
Exodus chapter 4, verse 21 and 22. Verse 21. And Yahweh said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his mind, that he shall not let the people go. Verses 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus says Yahweh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn.
So who is Yahweh God's firstborn, that mother did up Israel.
Israel.
He said, now when you return back to captivity like you're in right now, you got to understand something, not that out there, not jury in every land up on the face of earth. Israel is his firstborn. And the only way you're going to get into the kingdom, you got to understand you must come down through Israel. Mm-hmm. So, Moses, leave it like that and get your closing statement on that. And you're on the clock. The world is listening. Come on.
Sirach chapter 25, verse 1. And three things I was beautified and stood up beautiful, both before Yahweh and men. The unity of brothers, the love of neighbors, a man and a wife that age together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
And when three things is in order, then Yahweh used another word that Brother Micaiah, he said something else in the 50th chapter. He said something he was going to do. He said, now, once some orders in place, let's see what we got written that we can read in our 50 of Psalm, verse 21. Let's see what he say he can read, and that's what we come in at in Psalm 50, 21, Brother Micaiah. Then we want to peek back at these prophets again in the last few minutes and show one thing. It might look good in your eyes what you're doing, but we're going to see something before we get out of here in a minute. Remember tomorrow, back on tomorrow at 7:30. Those out in Nigeria and all over the known world, be back on airways again tomorrow at 7:30. Okay, Psalm 50:21, what did he say he was going to do?
The book of Psalms, chapter 50, verse 21. 21 reads, these things has you done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether such an one as yourself, but I will reprove you and set them in order before your eyes.
I'm gonna set them in order, and he's not coming back down. He's not coming back down, so the only way you're going to be sitting in order about a 6 anointed camps of boys up to his life. We can't sit in order. But you got to understand one thing, all these female pastors and overseers, you got to understand one thing. That's not the will of Yahweh. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 4 through 6, 20 and 21. 2 Kings, and if you are in that environment and you continue to hang around there, it's not the will of Yahweh. That's why it's always going to be chaos. In 2 Kings, chapter 11, 4 through 6, 20 and 21. What did it say that, Brother Micaiah?
On the 2 Kings, chapter 11, in verse 4 through 6 and 21.
20 Kings, and 21.
11. I didn't hear that. I didn't say that one more time.
2 Kings 11. Skip down to 20 and 21.
Okay, 2 Kings chapter 11, verses 4 to 6, 20 and 21. Verse 4 reads, in the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guards and brought them to him into the temple of Yahweh and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the temple of Yahweh, and showed them the king's son. Verse 5. And he commanded them, saying, this is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's temple. Verse 6. And a third part shall be at the gate of Sar, and a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall you keep the watch of the temple, that it be not broken down. Verse 20. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet, and they slew Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house. Verse 21. 7 years old was Joash when he began to reign.
Mm-hmm. So you see, everybody was happy, and not only that, in verse number 2, what else happened in verse 2? See, here's the point, Steve Ray. If you go with emotion and you follow behind a woman, remember, you read all the tidbits they said that the whole thing is to break the man and he'd be a scared cat and you hide behind a woman. But Yahweh got even a penalty for it in verse number 11, verse 2. Let me show you something. When all these women got the mouth going, big black mouth going in the temple of Yahweh, let me show you what Yahweh got written. And men sitting around past 6 years old. Let's see what we read in verse 2.
In the 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 2. Verse 2 reads, but Jehoshaphat, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And we pray about that, but now let's find out what will happen if you remain up under a woman's leadership. What he got written, what verse can we find out what he got written that we can read in verse number 8?
The book of 2 Kings, chapter 11, verse 8, verse 8 rings. And you shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapon in his hand. And he that cometh within the ranges, let him be slain. And be you with the king as he goeth out and as he cometh in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I need one more verse there, Brother Makai. I need one more verse. That those that want to continue to follow behind a woman's leadership, what verse that we can read that he says, if this is how you want to roll, this is what you got coming if you want to follow a woman's leadership. What verse is that we can read?
2 Kings chapter 11, verse 15. Verse 15 reads.
Excellent.
But Jehoiada the seer commanded the captains of hunters, officers of hosts, and said unto them, have her forth without the rein, and him that followed her, kill with the sword. For the priest had said, let her not be slain in the temple of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Verse 16.
Verse 16. And they lay hands on her, and she went by the way, by the which the horses came into the king's house, and there was she slain.
And what happened in verse 20 behind that?
Verse 20. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet, and they slew Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house.
And how long was they in pitiful shape in verse 3? How long was they in pitiful shape in verse 3?
The book of 2 Kings, chapter 11, verse 3. Verse 3 reads, and he was with her hid in the temple of Yahweh 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land.
Athaliah, she ruled over the land for 6 years. The woman was running the children of southern kingdom for 6 years, and the people was in bad shape behind that. One of them supposed to lead, supposed to follow, and be a helpmeet to the man. Never get puffed up and get out of your order, because out of order, will of Yahweh. Now, Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 2, let's see what Solomon says when his time was on the clock, we can read. Let's run and see exactly what's going on in 1 Kings 2, 1 down to verse 4. Let's find out something. If you want to keep the children of Israel happy, just do the Bible. Get out of order. Let's see what Solomon did. I mean, when David was ready to give the ghost Let's see what he did. Did he go look for his wife? Let's see what he did in 1 Kings 2, 1 down to verse 4.
The book of 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 down to 4. Verse 1 reads, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, Stoop, I go the way of all the earth. Be ye strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Verse 3. And keep the charge of Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, to walk in his ways, to keep his Torah instruction, and his Torah instruction, his Torah instruction, his covenant, as it is written in the Torah instructions of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and whithersoever you turn yourself. Verse 4, that Yahuwah may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if your children take heed to their ways to walk before me in truth with all their mind and with all their soul, there shall not fail you, said he, a man on the throne of Israel."
You see that? So you see, when we ignore the Bible and get off of our emotions, let's go to 1 Maccabees 6, chapter 1 and 10 through 16, the closing statement. We're going to first book of Maccabees, chapter 6. See, the world understood this thing, but they don't understand nothing now. So it wasn't no decision to make out there and out there when the prophet, the man of God died out there. Who over taking his place was his son, not his wife and not his daughter. If you done by, who took his place was his son, not his wife and not his daughter. That's not Yahwali. The son take the place of the whoever in rulership. Another son take the place. And if the son is not there, the cousin take the place. Never a woman take the place of leadership over men's past 6 years old. The Yahweh will Yahweh. First Maccabees chapter 6, verse 1, 6 through 10, the closing statement out. Brother McKay.
First Maccabees chapter 1 and 6 through 10. First Maccabees
chapter 6. Make it First Maccabees 6, verse 1. Let's skip down to 6 through 10 and close the statement.
Okay, First Maccabees, chapter 6, verse 1, 6 through 10. Verse 1 reads, "About that time, King Antiochus, traveling through the high country, heard, say, that Elamiah, in the country of Persia, was a city greatly renowned for riches, silver, and gold. Verse 6. And that Lysias, who went forth,
10 to 16. 10. Verse 10 down to verse 16, closing statement.
Verse 10 reads, "Wherefore he called for all his friends and said unto them, the sleep is gone from my eyes, and my mind falleth for very care. Verse 11. And I thought with myself, into what tribulation am I come, and how great a flood of misery is it, wherein now I am. For I was bountiful and beloved in my power. Verse 12. But now I remember the evils that I did at Yadaju, and that I took all the vessels of gold and silver that were therein, and sent to destroy the inhabitants of Yadaju without cost. Verse 13. I perceive, therefore, that for this cause these troubles are come upon me. And behold, I perish through great grief in a strange land. Verse 14. Then called he for Philip, one of his friends, whom he made ruler over all his realm. Verse 15. And he gave him the crown and his robe in his city, to the end he should bring up the sons of Antiochus and nourish him up for the king. 16. So King Antiochus died, they're in the 140th and 9th year.
See, everybody understand that. Listen, when you get ready to die, when you get ready to get out of here, you don't call your wife. Your wife don't take over for you. Your daughters don't take over for you. Your son take over for you. Even the wicked nations know that. Why you understand that now? How you can make a decision by putting a woman in front of men past 6 years old? That is a recipe for Satan the devil. Even King Antioch knew that. That my son is not old enough, my right-hand man. Get him together and let him take him there. But Micaiah, close thing is all yours. We're catching on top of the 7 days. It's all yours. I'm out of it. Your clothes come on.
For another blessed day to read his word. Thank you, Yahuwah, for having the opportunity to learn under the steer, Israel of C. Roy. Thank you, Yahuwah, for my wife and children that he has given me to raise up for him and to teach them the Torah instructions of Yahuwah. Thank you, Yahuwah, for the elders and the mothers, the teachers, the brothers and sisters, and all the six anointed council voices of the true Israelites. I'm going to read 2 Nezra chapter 10. Verse 33. And he said unto me, stand up manfully, and I will advise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's it. What can we say, WCC? Latter-day.